What if I told you that everything that you thought you believed was true was not? And what if you found out that the very things that you thought was a lie was actually the truth? What if I told you that part of the adversary's plot is to get you to believe that what it once was true is not a lie, and what was once a lie is now the truth? What if I told you it was a great scheme that he had planned from the very beginning to get you to turn away from that which you once believed? Our goal today is this, is to open your eyes that you may be able to see for yourself what is the truth and how that truth will make you free. And when you know that you are free, then you'll be able to go in the way that you're supposed to go and get the results that you desire to get in your life. Are you interested? We find here in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus is talking to those Jews who had believed in him, those who had recently received him, who had total faith, total confidence, total persuasion in him. And this is what he says. He says, if you abide, take up residence in my word. He says, then are you my disciples, my chosen ones, my students, my pupils, my followers. He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He says, because you have made a decision, first, to believe on me. Second, you made a decision to follow me. Third, you begin to abide in me, or let my word abide in you. He says, then you will come to know, be able to perceive, understand, and comprehend what is the truth. And that truth that you have come to see, perceive, know, and understand will make you free. But what had to happen first? You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, you had to make a decision to be a follower of Jesus. Now, many people say they believe in Jesus, but are you following him? Following him simply means, are you taking what the word of God says and making it the final authority, the truth in your life, and everything else is a lie? Let God be true and let man be a lie. What did Jesus say was the truth? He said in John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, Father, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus defines the word as the truth. If I want to know what the truth is, all I got to do is get God's word. If I get God's word, guess what I just found? The truth. They are one and the same. But what the adversary will try to convince you is you got your truth, I got my truth. There's only one truth. And the truth is what makes you free. But it's not just enough to hear it. You have to believe it. Many people have heard it, but they didn't believe it. Many people heard it and maybe believed it for a moment, but when situations and circumstances came up against what they said they believed, then they let go of the truth and went back to what it is they previously believed. Why is that the case? Because the adversary is banking on the fact you won't hold on to the truth, or you won't hold on to God's word long enough in order for it to make you free. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you've made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, when you made a decision that I'm going to hold on to this word and I'm going to abide in it, I'm going to live in it, I'm going to be a doer of this word, then it turns you from one direction and puts you on a whole different path. What happens in the quotes to Psalms 119 and 130, the entrance of God's word, the truth, comes in and it illuminates, it enlightens you, it brightens you, it shows you things that you could not ordinarily see, and it also gives you understanding. When the word of God enters into your heart, when you've made a decision, hey, Jesus, I believe on you. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I make a decision that I'm going to abide in your word, or let your word abide and take up residence in me. And then I will begin to meditate on that word day and night, according to Joshua 1:8, till I can see myself doing what that word says. And when I begin to see myself doing what that word says, then I can make a heart decision to turn and begin to apply it to my life. And then I will make my way prosperous. And then I'll have good success. And I will be made free. What makes you free? Because you turned from your old way of thinking, turned from your old way of believing, turned from your old way of doing into a new way. Into his way, and his way will make you free. So why is this important? Why are you saying that the adversary is trying to convince you that what was once true is not a lie, and what was once a lie is now the truth? Because it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, and ladies and gentlemen, we are in the latter times, the latter days, some will depart from the faith. Not meaning that they're going to turn away from what it is they once believed. How did that happen? They began to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines or teachings or instructions of demons who are speaking the lies in hypocrisy. Hold it. Whoa. You mean the people who once said they was followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who once said they had called on his name, who had once said they believed on him, all of a sudden have made a decision to turn away from what it is they once believed and begin to give heed or begin to give attention to doctrines, to deceiving spirits or doctrines or teachings or instructions of demons, who are speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron? How is this going to be? Because what they will begin to say, doctrines of demons will begin to say, and according to Isaiah chapter 5 and 20, it will say, hey, those who call evil good and call good evil, those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, for those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They begin to take what was once good and they do what's known as perverted. Perversion simply means to take something that was good and turn it into something that is worse. And a lot of times the way that he does it is going to be by means you would have never thought. In Luke chapter 8, verse 17, Jesus says this, for nothing is secret or nothing is concealed that will not be revealed or made known. Or there's nothing that is secret right now that will not be revealed, or anything that is hidden right now that has been kept a secret that will not be made known and come to the light. In other words, there is nothing that's going to go on that he's not going to expose so that you'll be able to see it for what it is. And that's what the whole purpose of this is about. He says, I want you to expose what's going on so that it gives people the opportunity to act out on what it is the truth of God's word says. Because he goes on to say in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, therefore, take heed. Pay attention how you hear, what you give attention to. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. We are without excuse. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. God is saying, all you got to do to understand that I am is look around. The very creation that is around you, the very creations of this world, are here. So you can see no delusion, no confusion, no I didn't know, no excuse will be accepted. Why? Because he says it's been clearly seen. He says, so you are without excuse, because although you knew God, you did not glorify him as God. You did not only not glorify him, nor were you thankful, but becoming futile in your own thoughts. You thought you were smarter than God. You became foolish in your own mind. Your own mind played tricks on you, and your foolish hearts were darkened. You professed yourself to be wise, but in fact, you were fools. Did you hear that? You allowed yourself to be deceived, thinking that you knew more than God, even though everything around you says, hey, there is God was the one who created all things. He was the one who created the moon and the stars, and he created man, and he was the one who created the heavens and the earth. Now, because of sin, it came in and it perverted the things that he created. But when he sent Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus paid the price for you and I, he gave us an opportunity to be restored back into right relationship. And when it's all said and done, this earth that you see today will be no more. And guess what? There will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth. And guess what? There will no longer be sin and sickness and disease, pain and sorrow. But he says, but in order for you to see that, you have to make a decision. One, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, you have to make a decision to follow him. Three, you got to let the word of God abide in you, and you have to hold on to it to the point that you come to the point where you know it. You perceive it, understand it, and it will make you free. Remember, the adversary wants to steal, to kill, and destroy through the power of suggestion, by trying to get you to believe that what the word of God says is not true. And he's going to use people who you would have never thought he would use. Some of them, your family members. Some of them, your friends. Some of them, even your spouses and your closest friends. To do what? To try to get you to turn and give attention to deceiving spirits and doctrines and teachings of devils who speak in hypocrisy. That word hypocrisy means deceit. But you and I are without excuse. I want to let you know, why is this important? Because there's nothing that's hidden from the sight of God. In fact, there are books in heaven right now being written. You said books? Books about what? Books about the works and deeds that you do in this natural body. It even talks about the very thoughts and intents that are in your heart. He says this, in Revelation chapter 20, this is for those who made a decision. You know what? I don't believe that God stuff. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't receive that truth. I know what you said, but I don't want to receive that. He says, but this is what's happening. All the things that you're saying and doing and thinking are being recorded in a book. And that book, those books will be the very things by which you will be held accountable for if you never make Jesus the Lord of your life. He says it this way, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged. What do you mean the dead? The physical dead? No, the spiritually dead. Those who had never made a decision to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They were judged according to the works, by the things, listen to this, by the things that were written in the books. When you have not made the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's books that are being recorded. It's like somebody has their personal assistant, and everywhere you go, they're writing down what it is you say, what it is that you do. So when you think you're doing it in the back, in the booth, in the corner, and nobody is seeing, that's not the case. Because there's an angel who's writing down and recording what it is that you're saying and are doing. And God can even see the very thought and intent of your heart, even while you're doing what it is that you're doing. He says, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up its dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up their dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second thing. This is the second. In other words, you never had to be at this seat because Jesus had already come and he made a way of escape for you and I. And he says, I've already made a way of escape. Why did he say it's the second death? Because the first death is when you physically die on the earth. The second death is when the eternal judgment is made for you, which means eternally when you are cast into the lake of fire as a result of believing and turning to doctrines of demons. He says, anyone who's not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, many people say, I don't believe it. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not true. It's written in the book. Well, how do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Man, that's easy. How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Where all those things that were in the book, all those things that were once held against you to judge you, is washed by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what he said from the very beginning. For those who believe on him. The first step, you have to believe on him. But remember, there's books. See, there's nothing that's hidden from his sight. In fact, it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says it this way. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people gathered together so that they trampled one another, Jesus came to his disciples first of all. And this is what he said to the disciples. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What was the leaven of the Pharisees? Their teachings, their doctrines, their instructions. What did Jesus say? It is hypocrisy. It is deceit. What, remember we said the way that the adversary was going to be able to get people who once believed one thing begin to depart from the faith and give attention to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. How is he going to do it? He's going to use religious folks, people who are bound by religion, people who are bound by their own man-made doctrines, people who are bound by false religions, false teachings, false instructions, false guidelines, false commandments. They will give attention to deceiving spirits. And what will they do? They will cause them to deceive many who will say there's more than one way to get to heaven other than Jesus. Who will get them to believe if you're a Buddhist or if you're a Muslim or if you are a Hare Krishna, or if you are Hindu, there's more than one God. There's more than one way. There's more than one method by which your good can outweigh your bad. Some confirmation can get you in. That is a doctrine of demons. Why? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except or through him. He says, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. In other words, you're not going to be blind to this. In fact, God is exposing all this to us even now. That's what we're doing today, is exposing the lies of the adversary so that you may know, perceive, and understand the truth and allow that truth to make you free. Jesus says, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark, remember the books, whatever you're saying in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ears, in the inner rooms, in the closet, in the back, in the booth, in the corner will be proclaimed or made known or heralded, like the herald shout from the rooftops. In other words, the things you thought nobody else knew, God says are going to be exposed. And he says that the very things that you thought nobody have ever heard, he says, it's going to be shown. Does God expose things to destroy you? No. God will expose things because he loves you. And he's trying to tell you, hey, it's time to come out. Okay, I need you to turn because it's time. Why? Because he knows you're getting closer and closer and closer to the edge where judgment is coming. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages, the price, the payment for sins, the offenses that we do against God is death, destruction, chaos. He says there's a gift that he's given us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but we have to receive it. But as long as we stay on the road to death, to death, to death, to death, and he's trying to tell us, he's trying to shout us, he's trying to have this person come by and that person come by and this to happen so that you can see. But if you keep staying on that path, he will expose it. And when he exposes it to save your life. But for many people, they will harden their hearts and get mad and turn from God. And God says, I don't use those things to hurt you. I do those things to save you. But why would you have to wait that long? Because he says, my word will expose the very thoughts, intents that's going on in your heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it this way. For the word of God is quick. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? It pierces between the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, the real you. And it discerns a cusp between your joints and marrows, your body. He says, and the word, the living word of God, the truth, is a discerner. It's decisive. It cuts decisively. It discerns or cuts decisively between your thoughts, your deliberations, the things you're thinking, and your intentions, your moral understanding. It says the word of God is so sharp, it's so quick, it's so alive, it's so decisive that it cuts between the things that you're deliberating on. It cuts between the very things that you have understanding about. And it goes on to say that the word of God also does this. He says, for there is no creature hidden or not apparent. There's nothing hidden that is not apparent from his sight. But all things, everybody said all things. All things are naked. Naked means naked, nude, before God, and open. Open means it's exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So let me see if I understand this. The word of God, which discerns between my thoughts and my intentions, can expose the very things that's going on inside of me, and those things that I believe that's hidden, those things that I believe is secret, those things that I believe nobody else knows or understand, those things are naked and exposed in the eyes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father, to the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. For what purpose? To be able to lead us out in a way that we should go.
But can God just do it on his own?
No. He will never go against your will. He will show you the truth through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. But it never says the Holy Spirit will drag you and I into all truth. He leads. It's kind of like a dancer. If you got two people who are trying to lead at the same time, you got confusion. But if you have one who leads and another who follows, you have to be willing to be a follower. Remember, those who are followers, disciples of Jesus, those who are followers of the Word of God, those who are followers of God's ways of doing things. He says, those are the ones who will allow that word to abide on the inside of them. And then they are the ones who will come to know, perceive, and understand the truth. And that truth makes them free. But as long as you are not a follower, as long as you are not made a decision to believe the truth, to follow the truth, you are bound and you don't even know it. So why is God sharing this message today? He says, because judgment starts at the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 says it this way. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now, when you look at that word judgment, most people believe judgment is something that is negative. But you got to understand, judgment simply means a decision. It could be a decision for or against you. If the judge judges in your favor, that's still a judgment, but it's for your good. But if he found you guilty, it's a judgment or a decision to the negative. Do you see how that works? So just because there's judgment that begins at the house of God does not necessarily mean it is something that is negative, but it does mean it can go either positive or negative, depending on what it is that's going on in your life that needs to be judged. But my Bible still says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a man judge himself. Why do you judge yourself? That you may not be judged. When you judge your own self according to the word of God, then you don't have to wait for judgment to show up to judge you. When you judge yourself, when you check yourself on a daily basis according to the word of God, then there's no judgment for the negative against you. But when you don't judge yourself and you just kind of go along and hope that what you're doing is right, then when judgment shows up, you're like, Lord, what's up? How do you judge yourself? Holy Spirit, you know the way. You are the only one who knows the way. Holy Spirit, show me, what is it that I'm doing that I should not be doing? And Holy Spirit, show me what it is that I'm not doing that I should be doing. And Holy Spirit, show me the things that I'm doing that I need to do more of. What are you doing? Judging yourself. But if that's what's going on with the person who is in the house of God, what about the one who's not? He says, and if it begins with us first, what will the end be for those who do not obey, who are, or in other words, who are in disobedience or who disbelieve the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? In other words, I'm telling you, if you are judging yourself and you say that you are a follower of God, he's saying you may scarcely get in, but that person who does not even believe the gospel of God, that one person who says, I don't want what it is that you're sharing. I don't want that truth. I'm going to live my own truth. How will you escape what is to come? Is it God's desire that any be lost? No. Is God's desire that all should be saved and come into the house of the Lord? But can I tell you something? Just because somebody says they believe does not mean that they're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Even if you go back all the way to Malachi chapter 3, and
we find here in context that the people of children of Israel who are in covenant with God are speaking harsh things against him. In fact, it says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 says, you have spoken harsh things against me. And you will say, what have we said against you? And they and you said, God says to them, you say it is unprofitable, unfruitful to serve God or to be in mourning for his things. Verse 15 says it this way. So now, because we don't think that it's profitable, beneficial to serve you. These are people who are in covenant with the Lord. Because we don't believe it is profitable, we will now call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and they go free. That's what his own people were saying against them. But that's not the truth. Because we've been talking about it's been written in the books. He goes on to say this, but those who feared the Lord. That word fear means have a reverential fear, awe, respect, and honor for the Lord. They spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So then what happened? So a book of remembrance was written before him. What? There's a books about the works that the people who are dead spiritually in heaven? Yes. But there's also a book of remembrance about those who feared the Lord, who spoke to one another about the fear and reverential awe and respect for God. Absolutely. And in that book is before God. And for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. Remember, is that what we talked about in the very beginning? Those who believed on him, his disciples, they abided and meditated and kept his word, that they knew the truth, that truth made them free. He says they meditated on his word. They shall be mine, God says, the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own sons who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between ones who serves God and one who does not serve him. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake. There's nothing hidden that shall not be seen. And there's nothing that's covered that shall not be revealed. And God is saying this, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm telling you before it ever happens. You don't want to have your name. You don't want to be at the white throne judgment. You don't want your name not to be written in the Lamb's book of life. You don't want to be judged by your works, because the judgment of your work will determine to what degree of torment you will receive for eternity. He says, why would you receive that when I take no delight in that? When I'm telling you, I've already made a way of escape. When you get into my word begins to expose to you those things that's going on the inside of you. And when the word begins to expose you, expose those things that's going on inside of you, it's not to condemn you, it's to demonstrate God's love toward and towards us. So that when we see it and we experience it, we can say, Father, thank you that you love me so much that you revealed this thing in me and have given me an opportunity to turn from it. So that I don't give in to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons that's being proclaimed through the media, through social media, even across the pulpit. Did you know that there's some place you can go and the pastor himself or herself is not even saved? If they're not saved, then how are those who are sitting under them going to be saved? But God says, for those who have a fear of reverential awe and fear of me, who keep my words, who meditate on my words day and night, do they observe to do them? He says, they will be made free, and whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And I'm writing a book of remembrance and you shall be called my jewels. And people will be able to clearly discern those who are righteous and those who are wicked. Well, you said, well, Pastor, I heard everything you said. Maybe I might have been going the wrong way. How do I get on the way, on the road of truth? Man, that's simple. In fact, it's so simple a child could do it. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I turn from my sin. I accept your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I believe I receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what do you do now? Now that you're born again, now that you're in the body of Christ, what do you have to do? You got to get in the Word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. I know here at Faith Life is such a church, and we want to invite you to join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll hear a right now word that will ultimately change your lives forever. And on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Knight Nation, I want to thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.